I asked my students if the political union that merged the Scottish and English parliaments in 1707 was merely an episode in Scottish politics or a turning point in British history. In 2007, the bicentenary of the abolition of the British slave trade received greater attention in the UK as a whole than the tercentenary of the treaty that created the Kingdom of Great Britain. And I think this illustrated important aspects of how our understanding of British history has been changing in the 21st century. Do any of us really understand how constitutional changes in the ancient kingdoms of England, Ireland and Scotland relate to the global dynamic of the expanding British Empire that came to an end politically in the 20th century? So this podcast considers political events in England, Ireland and Scotland in 1707 and the years preceding the creation of the Kingdom of Great Britain in that year. Perhaps one reason the Treaty of Union has attracted more attention from Scottish historians than English historians is that it can be perceived as representing a fundamental turning point in Scottish history more easily than from the perspective of the much more populous and very much wealthier Kingdom of England. The treaty also attracted considerable attention in Scottish popular politics in the period leading up to 1707 and created the constitutional situation in which Scotland became associated with a series of anti-union Jacobite rebellions, the last of which occurred as late as the middle of the 18th century, almost 40 years after the treaty had been passed by both the Scottish and English parliaments. One fundamental issue to consider is the relationship of the so-called glorious, in quotation marks, revolution of 1688, which altered the political constitutions of England, Ireland and Scotland, to the parliamentary union of England and Scotland, but not Ireland, in 1707. Few historians today with expert knowledge of the period would refer to the political conflict in England, Ireland and Scotland in 1688 to 1690 as glorious, although it was fairly bloodless in England and Wales. This was not the case in Ireland and Scotland, where the Siege of Derry, or Londonderry, depending on your point of view, and the massacre of Glencoe in Scotland were each events that to this day have an important place in popular culture in Ireland and Scotland. So from this perspective, it's important to understand why the Treaty of Union became law in England and Scotland less than 20 years after the revolution in Britain and Ireland in 1688 to 1690. After the Treaty of Limerick in 1691, the Parliament of the Kingdom of Ireland contained only Protestant members, and Roman Catholics, whether Anglophone or Gaelic-speaking, were marginalised. Leaders of the Irish Parliament in 1703 complained to Queen Anne at their exclusion from the negotiations for parliamentary union by commissioners from the English and Scottish parliaments, which she had chosen for these negotiations. So one aspect of 1707 was that Roman Catholics may have been marginalised in Ireland after 1690, but all of Ireland was marginalised in 1707 because the Queen wanted a union of the English and Scottish parliaments, not the English, Irish and Scottish parliaments.